All right, 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. Imagine being able to go back and start life over again, a do-over. Imagine being born anew and having a clean slate. You know the concept of reincarnation. You've heard of reincarnation.
Yes.
The concept of reincarnation imagines someone dying and then being born once again as someone else or something else, making a new start from a new perspective. And so I found a poem about reincarnation I'd like to share with you tonight. What does reincarnation mean? A cowpoke asked his friend. His pal replied, "It happens when your life has reached its end. They comb your hair and wash your neck and clean your fingernails and lay you in a padded box away from life's travails. The box and you goes in a hole that's dug into the ground. Reincarnation starts in when you're planted neath that mound. Them clods melt down just like your box and you who is inside, and then you're just beginning on your transformation ride. In a while the grass will grow upon your rendered mound, till someday on your moldered grave a lonely flower is found. And say a hoss should wander by and graze upon this flower that once was you, but now's your in your vegetative hour. The posy that the hoss done et up with his other feed makes bone and fat and muscle essential to the steed. But some is left that he can't use, and so it passes through and finally lays upon the ground this thing that once was you. Then say by chance I wanders by and sees this on the ground, and I ponders and I wonders at this object that I found. I thinks of reincarnation, of life and death and such, and come away concluding, Slim, you ain't changed all that much." Well, that would be a new start. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 shows us a much better alternative. If you look at verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." It's a good thing in this case. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We thought we finished chapter 5 last time, but the Lord said, "This is just too good. You could preach and preach on this one verse right here." And we hope for a much better start, new start in our lives than reincarnation, and we can have it in salvation. And so it's a clean slate for sure. And it's not really as somebody else. It's just you the way that God meant for you to be. A new start, a clean slate. Things have changed radically at this point. Now, Just a little taste of the next chapter that we're about to start, Lord willing, next week. Look at chapter 6 and verse 14. You want to talk about the change that has happened in you the moment that you got saved? Check it out. Verse 14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And then it starts talking about why we should not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Because there's such a huge change in you. There's such a big difference between you and them. Look how verse 14 continues. "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion or what in common hath light with darkness?" That's how different you are on the inside because you were saved. "What concord hath Christ with Belial or the devil? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" All these contrasts show what a great difference there is between the born-again believer and the person still lost in the world. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. We'll talk more about these things in the future, but we're just talking about the radical change that has happened on the inside, the new start that we have, the privilege of seeing through. What a huge change has happened on the inside, and we ought to let it work its way out naturally as well. Someday we'll have a covenant, not only a new creation, but there's a new covenant that our God makes, and it still fits with verse 17, all things new. Excuse me, a new covenant. The new covenant is a blood covenant. The new covenant is a blood covenant. Like in the Old Testament, there had to be a blood sacrifice. The new covenant is also a blood sacrifice, but it's a different lamb, isn't it? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, not just of the camp, not just of the year, but of the world, of all time, the Lamb of God. Luke 22, verse 20, says, likewise also the cup after supper. Jesus said, this cup is the New Testament, or the New Covenant, in my blood, which is shed for you. 1 Corinthians 11, 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, or covenant, in my blood. Yeah, I'll take one, thanks. I'm just kidding. Don't you go get one. I don't need any. I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. She was going to go get me one. This cup is the New Testament or the New Covenant in my blood. This do in remembrance of me, Jesus said. The New Covenant is a blood covenant, and it's Jesus' blood better than anything that they ever had in the Old Testament. The New Covenant is not only a blood covenant, it is a better covenant. It's better because of the Spirit, first of all. The New Testament, the New Covenant, is a better covenant because of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3, 6, we studied a few weeks ago. It says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, that's the letter of the law, but of the Spirit of the law. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. It's a better covenant because it's not the letter of the law anymore, it's the Spirit of the law. It's not the letter which is just cold and dead. It's the Spirit which lives in you and is alive and exciting and invigorating. I'm excited. I'm excited. It's not just because my audit's over. It's because of the Spirit. That's what it's because of. And number two, it's a better covenant because of the Savior. The Savior, the mediator of that covenant. The mediator is not the Spirit. It's not the Father. The mediator is the one that comes in between us and the Father. The Spirit doesn't come in between us and the Father. The Spirit just is left in the place of Jesus who left. But who is the mediator? That is the Savior. That is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:15, for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament or the New Covenant, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. It's a better covenant because of the Spirit and because of the Savior, the mediator. Now, we have the privilege, ladies and gentlemen, of participating in the new covenant. As a matter of fact, it's not a covenant unless you participate, because guess what? A covenant takes two people to make. Amen. Two sides. It requires involvement of two parties. We have the opportunity of entering into a new covenant. Me and God. You and God. Have you been born again? Have you been saved? If not, why not? If not tonight, then when would be a better time to have a clean slate, a new start, a new creation you will be, a new covenant, a better covenant you will celebrate. That blood covenant. He makes also a new command. A new command is given to us once we are saved. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you. God, who says all things are become new, says, here's one of the new things. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. That sounds sweet, doesn't it? Why is that so hard? That's so hard. You know? I mean, it took God to love us with real agape love because we're just not real lovable. That's the problem. And we have trouble loving one another oftentimes. And so God's given us this new start and this new covenant and made us a new creation. And that means He makes us capable of obeying His new command that we can love one another. Yes, we can. To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But here below with the saints we know, that's another story. It's hard, but we can have His help because we've been made new. With His help, we can do it. He can do it through us. Love one another, the command imparted. And then the command is illustrated. How does He say in the verse after He says love one another? How? As I have loved you. As I have loved you. Now what kind of love is that? That is unconditional. That's not based on how you did me. You done me wrong or whatever. It's as He loved us. That's why we talk about granting forgiveness to someone who doesn't deserve it. Because why? Because God granted us forgiveness when we didn't deserve it. So forgive as you've been forgiven is God's command. Love as you've been loved is God's command. He doesn't ask us to do anything that He hasn't already done and showed us how to do it. General Robert E. Lee was asked one time what he thought about a fellow soldier in the Confederate Army. This fellow soldier had made quite a few derogatory remarks about General Lee. Lee said, "What do I think of him? I would rate him as very satisfactory." The person who asked the question seemed kind of perplexed. He said, "General, I guess you don't know what he's been saying about you." And he said, "Oh yes, I do know." He said, "But I was asked my opinion of him, not his opinion of me." Do unto others as they did unto you. Do unto others before they do unto you. That seems to be this world's motto. No. It's do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. The way that you would want to be treated. Not the way that you were treated. The way that you ideally would want to be treated. It's a new command. And it does sound sweet. And it is hard to do. We've got to do it though. He'll make us able to do that. A new creation, a new covenant, a new command. He makes all things new, a new kingdom, a new kingdom. Does that start with a C? Sorry. He makes a new kingdom. It's just the truth. It's a K sound. Come on. He makes a new kingdom. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. A new kingdom, new heaven, and a new earth. We are looking for that new heaven. We are longing for that new heaven because it's a perfect place of righteousness. That's why we look for it. That's why we long for it. Now, are you longing for heaven? Are you? As a kid, when I was a little kid, I bet some of you will have this in common with me too. When I was a little kid, sometimes I'd try to figure out what my Christmas presents were under the tree. Did you ever do that? You know, you could shake them. You could weigh them. You could kind of jostle them around a little bit. You could try to feel them. Accidentally drop them. Nope. Pick it up. Try again. Nope. Still wrapped. I must admit, I opened some as a little kid carefully to my... My parents listen to these recordings? I don't remember. Probably not. I'm probably safe. I opened some, and I really tried to be careful, but it's amazing how little bits of that paper will come off on the tape. Have you ever noticed that? Did they make it that way on purpose? The ink on the whatever. I would try to put the tape back in place. It was a big mistake, and I still feel that spanking, but... Eventually, once they figured it out, they started wrapping things better, you know, and threatening me. And Dad started tricking me by putting things, little things, in big boxes, you know, and rocks and tree branches and different things in there to make different sounds and all that. You know the drill. But there really is a point to this. Before they had caught on to all my shenanigans, before that, it was great knowing ahead of time what was in store for me when the big day came. It was great. I'll just admit it tonight. It was great. For instance, there was no mistaking that big box of golf clubs underneath the tree. I mean, the sound of it shaking was unmistakable. The fact that I was taking lessons and that I had been asking for some and that they said, you know, pray about it, Jerry. Maybe someday you'll get some. It all was all coming together. The sound of it shaking was unmistakable. And I played with those golf clubs many, many times and had a lot of fun. All in my mind while they were still in the box, still in the paper, still under the tree. It was so exciting. And it was all before I got to open them. Now, the point is, I was already enjoying the pleasures of that future event, the unveiling, because I had my name on it, and I knew what it was, and I knew that it was mine, but only the big day, only the unveiling would bring it fully to pass. You know, the glories that await the Christian someday in heaven defy our comprehension, don't they? Eye hath not seen, ear nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. We just can imagine all we want and think big, dream big, and I promise you, you still will be surprised and will say, why didn't you tell me? The Bible tried to tell us, but words won't suffice to tell us what heaven is really like. What we can grasp about it, however, fills us with that great anticipation. And the unveiling is coming. The big day is coming, and your name is on it. If you bowed underneath that tree, the cross of Calvary, were dripped upon by that blood of the new blood covenant, the better covenant, it's yours. In many ways, God has made here at Grace a new church, really. Thank God for many new people. I'm thankful for the heart of even our older folks, that they're all about new people, too. If you're here and you are new, we love that. If it's your first time, keep coming back. Those that have been here a long time, I appreciate their willingness to try new things, to try some new ways to reach out to a new generation. Like the Apostle Paul, I think we should strive, as he said, by all means to save some. And so, trying new things is a good thing. Let's not get stuck in a rut. And let's go out of this place tonight as the new creation that we are, if you've been saved. If you've not been saved, become a new creation tonight. Once we're saved, let's really live it. Let's go out of here as the new creation that we are, with that new song in our heart and on our lips, on good days and on bad and in bad days, force it. And it's amazing how it'll help. And go out of here as that new creation. Let's try our best, with God's help, to obey that new command, loving one another. We've got to do that. God will make us capable of that. And let's do it until the new kingdom is actually come all the way. Until then, we anticipate it. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray right now. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, if you're here tonight and you're not sure if you're saved, if you're not sure if all things are become new for you, and you need that new start. It's a one-time deal. It's a once-and-for-all decision that you can make right now. You can get saved. You can pray a prayer like this right now. Just pray it in your heart to the Lord. Just say, God, I need that new start because I'm a sinner. I want you to forgive me of my sins. Save my soul right now. Help me to have that new start. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and rising from that tomb 3 days later. Help me to live my life anew for you now. In Jesus' name. If you pray that prayer, the Bible says, if you mean that in your heart to God with faith, believing on Him alone for salvation, you'll be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you've already been saved, you already know you're that new creation. God may challenge you, as He does me, through this passage and this verse specifically, to act like it, to show the new difference and the new change that's happened, to really live it. And very specifically, to do that by following that new command to love one another, that is, brothers and sisters in Christ. And how about the others who still need to be saved? We need to love them. Love them into that new kingdom. Tell them how to be born again as well. Father, tonight, thank you for your word. And thank you for the good work that it does in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that someone was saved just now, that others would be because of the truth found here. Thank you for the new church, the opportunities of the future. Help us, Lord, to walk in your ways with a new song on the old paths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prayer requests. Praises. Amen. Praise the Lord.